Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 50 and partly cloudy. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the upper 50s. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, April 5th. Natural gas powering computers seeking coronavirus cure. Permian Basin could soon house, power computer modules. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Computing power around the globe is being poured into the search for a vaccine and treatment for the coronavirus that has spread across the world. Many of those computers are being powered by natural gas that would otherwise be flared. Mesa Natural Gas Solutions, which has several field offices in the Permian Basin, has donated natural gas generators to power computer modules being used in the search for a cure for COVID-19. The computer modules are owned and managed by Crusoe Energy, Inc. Those modules currently are located in the Bakken Play in North Dakota and Montana, but both Mesa and Crusoe are looking to expand into other basins, including the Permian, Max Renton, the marketing director at Mesa, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. He said Mesa is in talks with several companies to bring modules to the region. Quote, "It is a great way to not only mitigate flaring, but to add value back to low commodity prices," he said. The computing modules provide resources to the Folding at Home Consortium, a distributed computing system for life science research launched out of Stanford University. The consortium allows researchers to remotely utilize Crusoe's computational resources for the vaccine search and discovery process. They have recently launched a new protein folding simulation project specifically targeting vaccines and therapeutic antibodies for COVID-19. The protein folding project simulates antibody proteins and how they might prevent COVID-19 viral infection. However, the simulation process is computationally intensive and therefore requires large amounts of electricity. Mesa's contribution of donated power generation resources allows Crusoe to double the scale of its existing protein folding program, and Mesa's generators will soon begin powering 16 of Crusoe's graphic processing units that will support the consortium's work toward therapy and cure research for COVID-19. Quote, "If we can provide a power solution, then that is one less thing our customers have to worry about," said Renton. He referred to a statement from Scott Gromer, Mesa President and Chief Executive Officer. Quote, "We jumped at the opportunity to fully support this effort to research this terrible virus that has paralyzed our country and the world. Mesa has in the past and will always focus our company's resources to where they are needed most in society, whether that is emergency response after natural disasters or helping our partners search for a cure for COVID-19. Our generators are the perfect tool to ensure this research will be done effectively and without interruptions to the power source while utilizing this resource that may otherwise be wasted," end quote. Renton credits the military and military veteran culture at Mesa. Quote, "This is a joint effort with Crusoe Energy Systems. Because of the military and military veteran culture at Mesa, it is second nature for our management and employees to want to react and help out. We didn't want to just sit around and talk about the problem. We wanted to help out and be part of the solution. We are in a great position today to give back to the companies that built us," end quote. Mesa generators are able to provide the large amounts of required energy by converting associated natural gas from oil production sites into electricity. The associated gas at these sites is often flared because it cannot be captured or transported to storage facilities. Worldwide estimates are that about 4.9 trillion standard cubic feet of natural gas is flared each year. Renton said the company is educating its customers about what can be done with its natural gas generators, doing so in other producing basins. Quote, "The Permian is coming on quickly," he said. Operators stand to lose hedging protection at year's end. The story was written by Mella McEwen. A report from Enverus and RS Energy Group Intelligence found most producers have hedged their oil production through the end of the year. But as those hedges expire at year's end, operators could face more financial challenges. Energy companies will face a fresh wave of economic woes once the calendar turns to 2021. That's when the oil price hedges, which are supporting a number of oil and gas companies, come to an end. Andy McCon, principal analyst with Enverus, said 2021 could be even more challenging for operators. Quote, "These are dire circumstances," he said in a phone interview. "These hedges are valuable, and the fact they go away at the end of the year underscores the importance of the industry recovering by the end of the year," end quote. McCon and his team at Enverus and RS Energy Group Intelligence estimated there is 2.5 million barrels per day of aggregate 2020 oil hedge volumes among public traded North American exploration and production companies at an effective hedge price above $50 West Texas Intermediate. Their analysis estimates most oil-weighted E&P companies have hedged between 25 and 90% of their anticipated production for the year. They estimate the value of these financial derivative assets exceed 10% of respective enterprise values for the majority of E&P companies. But come 2021, hedged oil volumes declined by 85%. McCann said E&P companies can still enter into hedges. Quote, "The problem is, now the markets have priced in current conditions. Companies could hedge, but the hedges could reflect current prices," end quote. Strategically, what companies need to do is cut spending as much as they can, he said. Quote, "Be proactive with their lenders in negotiating new terms. It's all about cutting capital expenditures and working with lenders for terms that are best for all stakeholders, the company, the lender, investors, and that may be bankruptcy," end quote. How well companies are hedged for 2020 will be a big factor in how they navigate the next 9 months, he said. For some companies, bankruptcy may be an option. For others, being acquired will be an option. But McCann cautioned that there is a limited pool of companies that can acquire other companies because so many companies are distressed by low oil prices and the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, "Generally, when there's uncertainty in a market like this oil market, there's less consensus, making it difficult for parties to come to an agreement," McCann said. Continuing the quote, "There are a few well-capitalized producers with the unique opportunity to make acquisitions and take a counter-cyclical view. They may see acquisitions as a contrarian move, but they may have to be selective," end quote. While cutting expenditures is a company's first job, he said that could be difficult because of contracts with service providers. E&P companies will need to negotiate deals with their service companies that benefit both sides. Overflowing oil tanks have traders eyeing rail cars for storage. The story was written by Sheila Tobin and Robert Tuttle of Bloomberg. Oil companies are turning to rail cars to stash the crude they can't sell as the world runs out of places to store a growing glut of cheap barrels. North American producers, refiners, and traders are now looking to store excess oil in rail yards in Texas, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba amid the crude market's historic plunge and collapsing demand, according to people familiar with the matter. With oil for May delivery trading at a steep discount to future months, a structure known as contango, more firms are hoarding barrels rather than sell at a loss. But crude tanks and supertankers are filling up fast, with the world projected to run out of storage space by the middle of the year, according to IHS Market. In Canada, tank tops could be breached within 2 to 3 weeks, Goldman Sachs Group said, while U.S. stockpiles last week rose for the 10th week, increasing by the most in 3 years. Quote, "Rail certainly is an economic option to store crude while the contango is at historic levels," said Sandy Fielden, director of research for Morningstar Inc. Quote, "A trader has to mitigate risks associated with quality and location because rail yards may not be located in major oil trading hubs," end quote. A decade ago, transporting crude by rail was rare, while stowing oil in a tank car was virtually unheard of. But as the shale boom unleashed record volumes of crude, overwhelming pipeline capacity, producers have increasingly come to rely on rail to move barrels from one point to another. Now, crude by rail service providers and terminal operators are fielding inquiries about leasing cars for storage. The situation is particularly dire in the landlocked Canadian province of Alberta, where local heavy crude is trading at less than $10 a barrel, according to NE2 Group. In some parts of the U.S., prices for physical barrels have gone negative. Although no contracts are finalized, some companies have inquired about using the cars for 3 months to a year, said the people who asked to remain anonymous because the talks are private. The last time rail cars were used to store crude was during the 2016 price rout, when the market structure was similarly bearish, according to Ernie Barsamin, chief executive officer of the Tank Tiger, a terminal storage clearinghouse. Quote, "And it was an exception rather than a rule," he added. This time around, market dynamics are even more favorable to storage, and rail cars are, for now, a viable option. Leasing costs have declined from about $1,200 a few months ago to less than $700 now, as demand for shipping crude has dwindled amid the price rout, the people said. Storing a loaded rail car could cost $300 to $450 a month, putting the total bill at around $1.50 a barrel per month, Barsamian said. Quote, "If you can get the crude cheap enough, it's game on," end quote. But crude-laden tank cars can't be stored just anywhere. In the U.S., they can only be stashed on private tracks due to Federal Railroad Administration rules governing hazardous materials. Rail yards must also be equipped with additional security and adequate fire protection equipment, said one person. Under proper conditions, rail cars are a safe alternative to more conventional modes of storage. But getting large volumes of oil to rail yards raises concerns about leaks and spills, according to Jared Margulis, a senior attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity. Quote, "That's the big risk," he said, "moving it around in order to store it," end quote.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, April 5, 2020. Viewpoints. Cross the line and fight for the Permian Basin. Ben Shepherd, Permian Basin Petroleum Association. Almost every day over the last few weeks, the words of William B. Travis at the Alamo keep popping into my mind. I now want every man who is determined to stay here and die with me to come across this line. Our producers in the Permian Basin are under attack. That is not hyperbole. We are in a price war with the Russians and the Saudis. That price war may have begun with them. The focus of that war, however, is now with U.S. producers, and in particular with Permian Basin producers. That point is abundantly clear from all recent reports. It is not our first fight with foreign producers. Some remember the 1973 Arab oil embargo. Many remember the 1980s oil price collapse. All of us remember the 2014 through 2015 price war. We won, but as with any war, there was destruction. What makes this one different is that we are also fighting an invisible enemy, the coronavirus. It has shut down economies and destroyed the demand for oil. The impact on Permian Basin and nationwide employment will be devastating. On March 27, the U.S. Department of Labor released weekly unemployment insurance claims data for the week ending March 21. Nationally, new jobless claims leaped more than 3 million, the largest weekly increase in history. In Texas, new claims rose from 16,176 to 155,657. And, unfortunately, if we don't take serious action to fight an unprecedented threat, this will only be the beginning of our economic challenges. While the first wave has resulted in a dramatic price change for production, the next wave in this battle is going to be storage. The pipelines began sending letters to producers last week to cut production because they have no place to store the oil. As Travis sent letters for help, you should know the Permian Basin Petroleum Association has been calling upon our elected officials, including the White House and the governors of New Mexico and Texas, for reinforcements. Unlike Travis, we are getting help. You should know that Congressman Jody Arrington, Republican Lubbock, and Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican Alaska, have become the leaders in responding to those calls. You should know several other members of the Texas delegation have responded as well. We greatly appreciate those efforts. We are not asking for a bailout. Our free market principles make that a bridge too far. The stimulus bill proves that point. We appreciate the Small Business Administration loan program, which was included. We hope people make appropriate use of the program's availability. Here are some of the asks that we have made. Use the full force of the United States of America to demand that the Russians and the Saudis stop their flood of cheap, government-subsidized oil into the world markets. We are working hard to explain the need for President Trump and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to aggressively intervene to protect domestic producers and that they have tools in their toolbox, ranging from tariffs, import licenses, and other trade restrictions to investigations, safeguard actions, and sanctions to protect domestic producers. Fill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve with domestically produced oil. Please do not fill it from the world oil market with foreign-produced oil. Remove the tariffs on steel used to produce domestic oil. Permian producers are price takers. All we control are costs. A 25% tariff on the steel we use is a cost now, and especially when we begin to come out of this war. We received partial relief here last week when President Trump lifted all tariffs for 3 months. Unlike Travis, we will win this war. That is not to say there won't be any casualties. The United States is the number one producer in the world because of the technology, innovation, and hard work of Permian Basin producers. We, as producers, the state and the country, must do all that we can to protect our ability to produce domestic oil. We understand that low gasoline prices are a bright spot in the current economy, but we also understand if we lose this war, then gasoline prices will go up, and we all will be subject to another Arab-Russia oil embargo. The future of the domestic oil and gas industry, thousands of jobs, and the recovery of the United States economy are at stake here. We need help, and we need it now. Ben Shepherd is president of Permian Basin Petroleum Association. Texas oil industry will get through pandemic. Christy Craddock, Railroad Commissioner. These are unprecedented times for the oil and gas industry. COVID-19 is substantially reducing Americans' demand for fuel as they follow sound advice to stay in and limit their potential exposure. Simultaneously, Russia and Saudi Arabia have committed to flooding the world market with discounted crude oil, further exacerbating already low prices. If we cannot persevere, American consumers will once again become dependent on foreign oil. All that we have gained over the past 10 years to set America on a path to energy independence will be lost, threatening the thriving manufacturing base returning to this country. COVID-19 and the price wars are a global conversation, not just a Texas one. I have been talking with operators in this state constantly, but also regulators in other states and provinces to talk about what they are experiencing and if a coordinated effort can be made to help our domestic operators. Where we see good solutions, I am actively pushing to replicate them in this state. When this crisis began, the Texas Railroad Commission quickly instituted a system to accept late filings on a case-by-case basis. It has now become clear more must be done. The commission will be implementing a blanket enforcement moratorium for 6 months on certain paperwork filings. We will continue inspecting and requiring cleanup for environmental violations, but the last thing I want to do is shut somebody down for missing a deadline or filing a form. This allows operators the time to focus on staying in business, paying their people, and weathering the storm. I think more can and should be done to reduce the tax burden during this time. The Internal Revenue Service and now our Texas State Comptroller have extended deadlines to file income and franchise taxes. The same should be extended to operators when paying their severance tax obligations. People need time and the flexibility to meet the needs of their employees, and I want us doing everything we can to give them that. Other oil-producing states have passed severance tax moratoriums, and we need to put it on the table in Texas. Our Texas independent operators are the lifeblood of our industry, and many have publicly and privately called for the Railroad Commission to prorate oil production and provide a mechanism to orderly reduce supply. Proration is a worthy conversation, and we will need feedback from all operators to be fully informed of its impact. The Texas Railroad Commission will be meeting to discuss it, and we need to hear the good and the bad of any such proposal. I will not prejudge where the conversation may lead, but I know the last thing we want is to implement a system that limits our growth once we move past this virus. Texas, while the largest producing state, cannot unilaterally make the cuts necessary to reduce global oversupply. Any temporary reduction we consider must be done in coordination with other states, the federal government, and other countries. The quickest way to help this industry and our broader economy is to solve this public health crisis, and we must all follow the advice or our medical professionals who are in the fight daily. All Texans are grateful for their heroic service. We will get through this. Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, April 4, 2020. Oil prices. Crude prices climbed 32% for the week. Oil closes at $28.34 on Friday. By Mella McEwen. M. McEwen at MRT.com. Crude prices saw record weekly increases ahead of a highly anticipated meeting Monday of members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, their allies, and any other interested parties. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange ended the week climbing $3.02, or 11.9%, to $28.34 per barrel Friday. That was in addition to a 25% jump Thursday, when prices rose $5 a barrel. That gives WTI a 32% increase for the week. Brent, the international benchmark, rose 37% for the week. The posted price for WTI rose $3 to close the week at $24.75 per barrel. Natural gas ended the week lower. Although gas prices on the NYMEX gained 7 cents Friday to close at $1.62 per MCF, that was lower than Monday's close of $1.69 per MCF. There is hope among some that the urgently called meeting to be held by video conference will result in a cut of 10 million barrels per day of global production. Still, it's being met with some skepticism, including by analysts at S&P Global Platts Analytics. The supposed cuts are almost all priced in after Brent jumped 40% over the past 2 days. Claudio Galimberti, head of demand, refining, and agriculture, S&P Global Platts Analytics, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Therefore, it's mostly downhill risk from here. Crushed by plunging demand for crude and petroleum products, Railroad Commissioner Ryan Sitton estimated demand for jet fuel alone has plunged 70% or 5.2 million barrels. Prices sank this week to levels not seen since 2002. WTI futures closed Monday at $20.09 per barrel, and the posted price held several days at $16.75. The plunge in prices has resulted in more than $50 billion in capital expenditure cuts, according to Global Data, a data and analytics company. Daniel Rogers, oil and gas analyst at Global Data, said in a commentary, "Of the announced $50 billion in cuts to date, approximately 20% of that is coming from Saudi Aramco, which could have implications for its ongoing expansion projects in the country. Elsewhere, across the supermajors, the investment cuts are within the 20 to 25% range, resulting in multi-billion dollar pullbacks in new projects and non-critical investments." Wood Mackenzie estimates $210 billion of capital expenditures on future projects is at risk, with Rob Morris of the company's upstream research team saying $110 billion is almost certainly to be deferred and another $100 billion at risk. Of the more than 50 pre-final investment decision projects the company identified, only 10 have a chance of proceeding, the company said. Deepwater oil and LNG projects dominate the list. New committed investment could be as low as $22 billion if only the most advantaged projects progress, Morris said.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 49 and partly cloudy. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low in the upper 50s. Then, tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high in the low 80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low